John 15. He said, I was away on Christmas and hadn't been here for some weeks, and you're still in the same place. Yeah, you're right. What a passage. What a passage. We've been looking in these weeks, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, and there'll be a couple more, about the vineyard of God. The vineyard of God. Jesus is leaving the upper room with his 11 disciples. You say, you repeat that every Sunday. Well, not everybody's here every Sunday, okay? And so I want to be sure we're all on the same page. And as he's leaving the upper room, going to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he will resign his will to the Father's will, he teaches the disciples about the vineyard of God. He uses a metaphor, and we have been looking at that. The first week we looked at this, we looked at the vineyard of God, the personnel. And we know from this teaching, we'll read it here in just a minute, that there are basically three personnel, kind of an awkward way to say it. But there's the vine dresser, who is God the Father. There is the vine, which is Jesus Christ, God the Son. And then there are the branches. The branches, Jesus says about them, every branch of mine is what he's talking about here. This is not collective people from all over the world for all time. Those folks aren't even in the vineyard. But the branches are those branches that abide in him, the vine, and those that look like branches. They're in the context of where other branches are, but they don't abide in the vine. And the proof is the fruit. The branches that produce no fruit do not abide in him. Those who produce fruit abide in Christ, the vine. So the second week we looked at the vineyard of God, the process that these branches, those that abide, are pruned. You think, well, gee whiz, I don't know if I want to abide or not if I'm going to get pruned. You want to be pruned because it verifies that the vine dresser came to your life and saw fruit, and it says that he pruned the branches that produce fruit so they would produce more fruit. Are you getting the idea that the purpose of what's going on in the vineyard is the production of fruit? Well, that was the third week. We looked at the vineyard of God, the product, which is the fruit. And if you were with us last week when we looked at that, we found out that that fruit was not necessarily souls won to Christ. There are folks who would propose that. I'm not saying that's incorrect, but it's not a total answer. That others would say that the fruit would be the fruit of the Spirit, talked about in Galatians. But I believe what the fruit is, the fruit flow, the life flows from the vine to the branch produces fruit, so the fruit is what the vine is. That makes sense? All that Jesus was and is and taught produces the fruit that the Father is looking for he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What would please him more than from our lives coming that which is of him? This morning we're going to look at the vineyard of God, the proposal, abide in me. And then as God wills, next week we will look at the vineyard of God, the promise, which is prayer. So this morning we're going to look at this idea of abiding in me. Let's read this passage, okay? Verse 1 of chapter 15, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And we'll see what he does with those he takes away in a minute. And every branch in me that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Do you get the idea here that abiding is a big deal? Big deal, okay? That's what we're going to look at this morning, abiding in the vine. So what is abiding? How does it happen? Can you abide in Christ? Can you know if you abide in Christ? Is that something that sitting here today, gathered as followers of Jesus Christ for the most part, can you know if you abide in him? Can you lose the status of abiding? Is that possible? Can you abide one day and not the next? We're going to look at three things and try to answer all these questions this morning. First of all, we're going to look at abiding, the definition. Then we're going to look at abiding, the derivation. If you forgot your English lessons, we'll rehearse that here in just a minute. And then last, we're going to look at abiding, the destiny. All right? Well, let's define this issue of abiding. I want to know what that is. It's a big deal. And I want to know what it is to abide in the vine who is Jesus Christ. First of all, abiding is real and tangible. It's not something that's subjective or metaphysical. It's a real, tangible existence in this life, abiding in Christ. Jesus taught that some branches abide in the vine and some branches do not abide in the vine. But they look the same. They're both identified as branches. But one abides. One hangs around, I guess you could say, but doesn't abide in the vine. So just hanging around fruit-bearing branches doesn't make you a fruit-bearing branch. You have to abide in the vine. That is the change experience. Another part of this definition that we're building is abiding is obvious to the vine dresser. Who is the vine dresser? God the Father. It's his vineyard. He is sovereign over his vineyard, and he pays attention even to the individual branches in his vineyard. Does that get you excited this morning? Branch, fruit-bearing branch, he's paying attention to your life. He is evaluating the fruit that you are producing on an ongoing, daily, moment-by-moment basis. He's directly involved. Some folks would say, well, deists sometimes would say, well, God just created it and then left. No. He is a personal God who is personally concerned with every issue, concern, item, event in your life. That excites me. I really, truly believe that the sovereign God of this universe, the priority of his day, because he loves us so much, is us. Not so that we'll be a big deal, or successful, or fulfilled, but so that we will bear more fruit, that will glorify his name. You read in verse 8 with me just a second ago. So abiding is obvious to the vine dresser. He knows who abides, and he knows who doesn't abide. Another part of this definition is that abiding is the prerequisite for bearing fruit. Jesus emphasized that point. Unless you abide in me, whoever abides in me and I am, he it is that bears much fruit. If we do not abide in the vine, we do not produce fruit, because the life of the vine doesn't flow through us for the production of fruit. You can't fake it. And we don't get to decide what the fruit is. Did you catch that? The vine dresser does that. Abiding is also the prerequisite for pruning. We spent some time with that last week. Branches that do not abide are not pruned. Rather, they are taken away. They are piled up. They wither and they pile up, and ultimately they're burned. That's not a good thing. You don't want to be burned. You want to be pruned. And sometimes the pruning hurts a lot. Usually it does. But folks, it's for one purpose only. It's not because God's mad at us. It's not because He's trying to, you know, make us squirm. It's so that we will produce more fruit. Because He wants more of the life of His Son Jesus in and through our lives, which will be then spread to the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's what He's up to. And in that He is glorified. If you read in verse 8 with me, abiding is the prerequisite for glorifying, Jesus said, my Father. If you want to glorify God the Father, if you want to glorify God the Father, the prerequisite for that is abiding in the Son. You cannot glorify the Father, and I can't glorify the Father if we don't abide in the Son, which is the vine. Abiding is relationship with the vine. We are attached to, such that the life of the vine flows through us for the production of fruit. Are you getting the idea also this is not about us? Huh? Is this about showing off your fruit? Or I've got fruit that you don't have and mine's more important than yours? I don't see anything like that at all. The vine dresser is simply looking for the fruit, which is the replication of the life of His Son. And that relationship is with the vine, which in turn yields those favorable responses from the vine dresser. Abiding is the prerequisite also for fellowship. Did you see anything about fellowship in here? Scott, did you see anything about fellowship in here? I did. Look at this in verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. That's fellowship. That's fellowship. When you are so close to someone, you would ask them for whatever you want to. This young lady sitting on the front row, she and I are in fellowship most of the time. Okay? And I know this morning that, yesterday looked, pretty snowy. She does not drive on snow. She will not drive on a heavy dew, actually, okay? And so she knew that because we are in fellowship, she would say, if the streets were slick, John, I want to go with you to church. She asked, okay? Well, of course you can, because we're in fellowship. But you see, if we're not in fellowship, she's not going to talk to me. I'm not going to haul her in here, she can drive herself. That's not fellowship. That's a weird example, but it's a good example. Ask what you will, what you wish. And it will be done for you. Come back next week. We're going to get into that one in depth. I think we'll find out that this thing called prayer is far different than what we think it is maybe this morning. We'll look at that next week. But you cannot have fellowship such that you can ask in my name unless we are in fellowship, and we can't be in fellowship unless we abide. Said another way, lost people don't pray. They may pray when that semi-truck's coming at them on the highway, head-on collision. They probably would, but that's not prayer. Lost people, why would lost people pray? They're not in fellowship with Him. We'll get into more of that next week, okay? Detached branches are never invited to ask. Did you see that? Those branches that look like branches that are taken away, that are detached, the vine dresser takes, they are never invited to ask. Only the branches that abide in the vine are invited to ask. Ask what you will. Ask what you wish. Abiding is absolute. You either abide or you don't abide. You can't abide today and not tomorrow. 2 weeks from now you're in? No, that's not it. Okay? We're going to get to that here in just a second. But abiding is an absolute. Abiding is also permanent. You did not see anywhere for those branches that abide and produce fruit that later on the vine dresser came and detached them, did you? Did you notice that? He never comes back. Once he sees the fruit on the branch, he never comes back at a later time and says, not good enough, not enough, whatever. No, it's a permanent thing. There's no detachment for those who abide. It is a permanent, ongoing reality. And abiding is the only way, of producing the life that flows from the vine. Folks, this is a big deal. This thing of abiding is a big deal. If there is no abiding, there is nothing of interest or value to the vine dresser. The kids used to say, that's cold. Meaning, yeah. But that's what he's saying. We do not see the vine dresser here interested in the branch in any other regard other than if there is fruit there. And before you get too quick to say, I don't think I like that, this is the sovereign God of the vineyard. It's His decision. It's His call. He will do what He wants to do. And He doesn't need our evaluation or counsel. And we never see the vine dresser interested in the branches that do not produce fruit except to take them away. They are merely identified as non-fruit-bearing branches. You think the disciples got this? I mean, here they are. They're in one of those experiences. Where are we going? What's going on? What has happened? All this kind of thing. He's talking about, you know, and the profoundness of this teaching. Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit preserved it for us? Because it's overwhelming. All right, let's look at abiding, the derivation, the beginning, the source of the abiding. All right? And Kelly, that was a pretty hard deal to come up with, but I did it, Bubba, okay? Yes, sirree. The derivation, the source of the abiding. I don't know about you, but I'm really interested in what has to happen to abide in the vine. Are you? Do you see how important it is? I mean, if we don't abide, taken away. We know what happens when we're taken away. Or when a branch is taken away. That's not producing fruit. It's piled, it withers, it burns. I'm interested in the source of abiding. I want to abide. So what is the beginning, the source, the derivation of abiding? Because abiding has a beginning, a launching point, a point in time when we abide. And little Gentry, bless her heart, okay, back here, as precious as she is. How old is Gentry? 10 weeks, okay? 10 weeks, all right? As as pretty, as precious as she is, and all the other children that are born as you were when you were a baby and all that, okay? You weren't born abiding. In other words, when you were born, when I was born, when Gentry was born, we did not born and abide. They're not synonymous occasions or experiences. No, there has to be a time, there has to be a time in our lives when we abide. Don't miss that. You can have the most godly parents imaginable. Your dad can be a Baptist preacher and your mom can be a what, okay? And that is not by osmosis. You don't get to abide just because your parents abide. It's an event that every human being has to come face to face with, is this thing of abiding. It's an event that will take some place sometime in our life after physical birth. We are born with a sinful nature. That's not popular today. It's really not popular, okay? But it's true because God said so. We inherited a nature from our great-great-great-whatever grandpa, Adam, and grandma, Eve, because they sinned. We were born with a sinful nature. So we were born in a trajectory away from God. We are not abiding. We are moving away from Him, not toward Him. The reality of this point of time when we abide, is determined by God Himself, by sovereign God. Here's what He says in the Scripture. We'll read some passages here in a minute. It is God that calls. You can't take your cell phone out of your pocket and you know, text him and say, hey, I decided to be a Christian today. No. Doesn't work. You can't friend him on Facebook and therefore abide in him. He calls. The Scripture says that the Spirit strives with the person. That's that act of calling. You see, holy God must reach down to reveal Himself to sinful man. He will not have fellowship with anything that is not holy. And when we were born in an unholy state, and we could not abide in Him in that state. And we cannot initiate the action. It's He who calls. Holy God must reach down, reveal Himself to sinful man and woman. And sinful man and woman cannot, will not seek God, for his nature is the antithesis of God. Lost people don't want a relationship with God until God calls them to Himself. If you're wondering why the world is going to hell in a handbasket, excuse me, little ones, okay? It's for that very reason. Every person born is born a trajectory away from God. And God will reveal Himself and will call, and those are the ones that can abide and will abide. And this is not exclusive, don't get me wrong there. I'm just saying we can't do it on our own. He initiates. The beginning, the source of abiding in Christ is holy God reaching down to unholy men and women and calling them to salvation. I want you to read some passages with me. Flip over to Romans 8. The Holy Spirit explains this a little bit in this passage. Romans 8, 29. A lot of times we get stuck on 28 and don't go on. You need to go on, okay? Romans 8, 29 says, "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And for those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Don't shut your Bibles and storm out of here angry and saying that that guy is preaching predestination, or that's a Calvinist, or whatever you want to say. I just read the Bible to you. Okay? The bottom line here, don't get hung up in the ditches of this, but just come to the fact and rejoice in the fact that if you abide in Christ today, it's because he called you. How did he find this little tow-headed, obese little boy in Brighton, Missouri in 1962 and call me to his salvation? I don't know. Why wasn't I born in Malaysia? I don't know. You pick a place where I might never hear the... I don't know. But folks, I'm not over it yet. And I don't want to be. I do not know the ways of sovereign God other than what he has revealed to us. And what he said to us was that he called us. And what he did was when he called us, it was because he so loved the world and gave his only begotten Son that whosoever responds to that call, believes in him, should not perish and have everlasting life. That's what he said also. That's what he said also. And also he said, it's for by grace are you saved, by faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift from God, lest any man should boast, not a result of your works, in other words. By faith, by grace, all about him. It's his salvation. And when that happens, you abide in Christ. You see why you can't get there just by showing up at church every other week or two times a year, or putting money in an offering box, or going to a mission? That doesn't get it. Nothing wrong with any of that, but that doesn't get it. All that matters is that he calls you, extending to you grace that you do not deserve and that I do not deserve, and even gives us the faith to receive what he is giving us. What a gift. Wow. So the derivation, the source of the abiding, is God calling those that he will to repent. And when we repent, we receive forgiveness. When we believe, we receive his grace. And when we abide, we receive his relationship. And when we are related to him, then we have fellowship with him. You okay with that? Want to take home with you? We have some free samples at the door before you leave. If you do not know him today, excuse me, what in the world are you doing here? Except that he's calling you. You see? He's calling you. Believe it or not, I passed all these boats this morning going to the lake. 10 degrees. I'm not throwing rocks at them, folks. They don't have a rip about what's going on here. They don't want to know. But you do. Because you came into this place by his design, I believe. He's calling you. If you do not abide, what better evidence that he's calling you in that you are here today under the sound of the gospel that we've been reading? When this happens, when this source of abiding takes place, then you begin to produce fruit that the vine dresser was looking for last week, if you were with us. and it's natural, it's spontaneous, and it's continuous. All right. We close this morning with this third point, which is abiding the destiny. Can an abiding branch stop abiding? Fair question. If I did not abide in Christ, and you say, how do you know you abide in Christ? Because He has spoken to me as He has spoken to you, and He has given me that absolute confidence that I do. You say, I don't think I've ever had that. You need it. That's what we're talking about. Every person who abides knows. The Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Got it? All right. Can an abiding branch stop abiding? Can an abiding branch stop bearing fruit? Yes, if the branch did the attaching. If the branch acted and attached itself to the vine, the branch then is calling the shots. They're in charge, and so they can come and go as they please. Now, based on what we've just read, do you think that's the way it happened? Absolutely not. We did not attach ourselves. He called us and attached us to the vine. He's in charge, not us. So if we didn't initiate the abiding, we cannot sever the abiding. Get it? We have just seen that abiding is the work of the vine and the vine dresser, right? It's His work. It's His grace. It's His faith. It's His forgiveness. Yes. We have just seen that the abiding is the work of the vine dresser and the vine. His only response to a fruit-bearing branch is pruning. He never deals with taking away those that bear fruit. They're permanent. Continuously bearing fruit. To be detached, to cease abiding, the power and authority that created the abiding, that's the vine dresser, has to reverse his action. And guess what? He said he never would. He said he never would. Turn over to Hebrews with me, chapter 13. Dwayne, there's about 12 sermons in this, but we're not going to preach any of them today, okay? But we're going to someplace, but to get there, the getting's good, okay? Hebrews chapter 13, and I'll get there as soon as, wait for me, okay? There we go. Verse 1, all right? Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. I say so. Wow. All right. Probably got an angel or two in here today. Those of you about to get married know who that is, but maybe not. I don't know, okay? All right. Verse 3, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them. Those who are mistreated, since you are also in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have, for He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's where we were getting, but I had to go through the rest to get there. Okay? I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Wow. He said so. If He calls us and we repent and believe and abide, it's permanent. We can't do anything about it. We can't detach ourselves since we didn't attach ourselves. And he attached us and he said, I will never forsake you. And he also says in Romans 8, but over there, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. And he goes through a whole list, Paul does. None of it. Neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor anything living, or nothing can separate you from the love of God. So if nothing can separate us, and he won't, it's permanent. We abide permanently once we abide. Now there's also something called the perseverance of the saints. Something I don't ever remember dealing with this. It's alluded to over in Matthew 24. Turn over there with me. I know the context of this, you Bible scholars, okay? I know that this is the tribulation period, the Olivet Discourse, it's called. But the principle is what I'm after in Matthew 24 and verse 13. He's talking to about those people who come to faith during the tribulation period. And here's what he says about them. And since they are believers, okay, the same principle, I believe, applies to us. This thing of the perseverance of the saints. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. Verse 13, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Now that sounds like you got to keep hustling. You got to run another lap, you know. You got to try harder. No. The only way that we can endure is if he attaches us to the vine. You got it? It's not up to us in our effort. It wasn't up to us in our effort to get attached. It's not up to us in our effort to stay attached. Therefore, we will persevere, not based on human effort, but we will persevere based on his salvation. Now maybe we need to back up over that one a minute, okay? God's salvation, okay, involves justification. That means, as you learned in Sunday school, I hope, just as if I'd never sinned. He justified us. All of these sins you've committed, Wheeler, look at them, page after page after page. I justify you. They don't exist. Not because of what you've done, but because of who I am and what I've done on the cross. He justified me just as if I had never sinned. You're holy today if you're attached to the vine, if you abide in Christ. He looks at your life and he sees no sin. And there are a lot of folks, most of Christendom, say, I don't know about that one. Well, know about that one because he knows about that one. Justified is forgiveness of your sins, past, present, and future. Now, that's good news. And then there's this process that's a part of salvation called sanctification. The process of making us holy. See, we are positionally holy by justification, and we are experientially holy through sanctification. More and more, you take on the characteristics of the vine because his life is flowing through you. If that's not happening, Houston, we may have a problem. You see, it's impossible for the one who is justified not to be more and more sanctified or made holy. Experientially. And then, that third part of salvation, I was saved. I am being saved. I will be saved. Don't get caught up in those things, okay? It's a done deal from the beginning. justified, sanctified, glorified. I don't know what that looks like. I'm not exactly sure when it starts. But I want in on that one. Do you know anybody else that's glorified, Dwayne? Huh? Yeah. That's what he's saying here in verse 8. Okay? So whatever it is, it looks like him. I want a piece of that action, don't you? Huh? Justified, sanctified, glorified. That's what it means to abide.